Israel presents.
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for the holiday of Sukkot, Zman Simchatenu, the time of our joy. Recording and first broadcast, October the 1st. I start with that because in this case, I would like to push it to the background, as I usually do, and highlight the fact that we are talking about the 13th day of Tishrei in the new year 5770. 13th of Tishrei means Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are behind us, and the 14th tomorrow, Friday, is Erev Chag, Erev Yom Tov, in addition to being Erev Shabbat. And Friday night, Shabbat, is the 15th of Tishrei, the festival of Sukkot. We shall talk about that extensively in the next piece of time. Before we do that, since we're not saying Tachanun, since Yom Kippur, for the balance of Tishrei, we will read Psalm 121 rather than 130, Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph. Shir la ma'alot, esa einai el heharim, me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, osei shamayim va'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha, al yad yeminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka, v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmoret nafshecha, Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha, me'ata v'ad olam. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela l'ora, u'mishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, v'nomar amen. Every time I say that, I think of many people's situation, but specifically the name that always comes to mind is Gilad Shalit. And the latest news on that was Israel releasing, or in the process of releasing, 20 female Palestinian or Arab prisoners in exchange for a video of Gilad Shalit. It's not laughable in a funny sense, but it just shows you values of what people's lives mean to us and what people's lives don't mean to other people. And don't know what will come of this. They started releasing prisoners already, with a promise for the video tomorrow. We'll see what actually happens. But it's a sad, sad situation. And a lot to pray for. Let's hope that this comes off properly. And let's hope that it is the forerunner of an imminent release and return of a healthy and sound Gilad Shalit. Back to Sukkot. This year began on a Shabbat. We had the issues of Rosh Hashanah being Shabbat and the rabbinic ban against blowing shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat. And 2 weeks after that, coming up this Shabbat, we have another issue, very, very similar, as you will see, and that is that the Torah commands us to take the four species, the etrog, lulav, Hadasim and Aravot. That would be the etrog, the citron, the palm branch, not a floppy, flapped out, open one, but a closed palm branch, flanked by three myrtle branches, special kind, that have three leaves emanating from a single level on the stem. It's called Hadasim Mishulashim, the triple Hadasim. And these are inspected and certified as acceptable and more than acceptable, but preferred for the mitzvah by those who sell it. They have hashkachot. They've been bagging them in threes for the use of the Arba Minim, as it's called, and two aravot, two willow branches that go on the opposite side of the lulav from where the hadasim are placed. I don't know how much I'm going to go through the basics. I understand that some people who are listening need the start from scratch and tell us everything, and other people take what comes along the way. We'll try to do a little bit of both. So the Torah commands the taking of the pre-eitz hadar, kapot tamarim va'anaf eitz avod va'arve nachal, on the 15th of the 7th month, which is Tishrei. The rabbis come along and they said, if that day happens to be a Shabbat, then we ban the blowing of shofar on Rosh Hashanah and the taking of the four species on Sukkot, and one other thing would be the reading of Megillat Esther when Purim comes on Shabbat. In our calendar, it can't happen except in Jerusalem. And when it does, we do not read the Megillah on Shabbat Purim. We read it on Thursday night, Friday instead. Now, there's one common thread here, which I think is important to keep in mind. And that is, shofar has the second day of Rosh Hashanah to be heard, and lulav has six more days of Sukkot to be taken, and Megillah has the 14th of Adar, which is when everyone else is reading Megillah, for those in Yerushalayim to hear Megillah as well, if it is banned on Shabbat. So let's first take a look at why the rabbis banned this in the first place, and see if we come up with any kind of statement as a result. The official reason is lest someone make the following error in practice. A person will say, I have my Arba Minim. I want to bring them to shul in order to use them during the morning prayer service. And obviously, if this is a mitzvah, then I'm allowed to carry it in the public domain, even when there is no Eruv, which would ordinarily allow me to carry. In other words, carrying in a public domain, except when surrounded by an Eruv, let's not get into that, is forbidden on Shabbat. But a person might think that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, the mitzvah of lulav and etrog, the mitzvah of reading the Megillah, that it could be carried on Shabbat. The answer is it can't be carried on Shabbat where carrying is not permitted. And rather than have a person inadvertently, mistakenly, unknowingly violate Shabbat in order to perform these mitzvot, the rabbis banned them. And they banned them across the board. Even if you live in a city, which many cities now have, where you are allowed to carry on Shabbat, you still don't take the Arba Minim. Even if you bring it to shul on Friday afternoon and you leave it there, you still don't do it on Shabbat. It is an across-the-board ban with a message, and I believe that it's the message that gives this its punch, that Shabbat is supreme among the holy days. It is the first of the holy days. It is the highest level of sanctity of all the holy days, even higher than Yom Kippur. And it sort of shares its identity to an extent with other days that are also called holy. I refer to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Simchat Torah, Pesach and Shavuot. So that not just to protect the inadvertent violation of the Shabbat, but to convey the message that Shabbat was not cast aside, not ignored, not brushed away, but it was very much in the formulation of day-to-day practice of Judaism, to the point where the Torah says, do this on the 15th of the month, and the rabbi said, not when it's Shabbat. In the Beit HaMikdash it was done, outside the Beit HaMikdash it was not to be done. Now I would like to suggest that it's even a little bit more than that. It's not just a clash between the need to protect the Shabbat and the need to perform the mitzvot of a particular chag, holiday. It is a statement that Shabbat will do its job of making the same point that that mitzvah would make under other circumstances in lieu of the performance of those mitzvot on those particular day. In other words, as I discussed back at Rosh Hashanah with shofar, Shabbat is a silent shofar. What does that mean? It means that Shabbat, in its essence, proclaims very similar ideas to what shofar is meant to proclaim. So we're not missing the message that God is the King of the universe, which the shofar proclaims and heralds. We have Shabbat, whose weekly existence pervades us with the idea that God is the creator and the master of all, and that means he is the king. Somebody asked me, do you sing Shalom Aleichem on Rosh Hashanah night when it's Friday night? And I know that I've seen in various sources, some do and some don't. But I said, you know what? If the song Shalom Aleichem refers each stanza to God as Melech Malchei Hamlachim, God the King, capital K of kings, then it's appropriate to sing that on Friday night, that's Rosh Hashanah. If you're talking Sukkot, if there are messages which the four species are meant to convey, those messages are well carried by the Shabbat too. And therefore, hand in hand with this ban, and part of the reason I'm saying all of this is that our sages didn't have to do this. They could have said, be careful not to carry when you're not allowed to carry. In fact, there are other things that they did to warn us that certain, what we might consider to be minor violations, cannot be transgressed in order to facilitate the observance of a mitzvah. So they could have said, same thing goes for this. But instead, they made a ban. And if you ask, what's Rosh Hashanah without shofar? Shabbos. If you ask, what's Sukkot without shofar? Shabbat. Shabbat has the messages of all of the festivals built into it, and therefore we're not missing it. Side point, my daughter and son-in-law and family went to Otniel, where my son-in-law had learned, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah, that falls on Shabbat, they do a very interesting thing there, which wouldn't be a bad idea for others to copy. When they get up to the point where the shofar is to be blown, but it's not, they pause. And they have a couple of minutes of absolute silence during the amount of time that it would take to blow the shofar there, so that people can ponder, reflect, meditate on the concept of Zichron Teruah, a commemoration of the shofar rather than the shofar itself. And I think it's a very nice idea because it doesn't just remove the shofar, delete it from the picture, and slide right past it. No, they stop and they make a point of it. Here is where shofar belongs when it's not Shabbat. Here is Shabbat telling us the message of the shofar. I don't know if I could build as strong a case for Lulav and Etrog, but I feel it's there. I feel it's there. There is an album I recently acquired called A Good Year, A Good Year. And it has medleys for various times of the year, including a medley for Sukkot. I'd like to play that medley, but I will interrupt between each of the songs so that I could talk about the song and what you are about to hear. So we'll start from the beginning. The beginning of the medley is a song, and by the way, even though it's called a Sukkot medley, it's a lot of general Yom Tov material, not really related exclusively to Sukkot, but that's okay as well. The first song of the medley is called Atah V'chartanu. The Amidah, a main central feature of our prayer, consists of three introductory opening brachot of praise to God, three concluding brachot of acknowledgement and thanks, and something in the middle. During the week, it is a set of 13 brachot of petition, requests. On Shabbat, it is a single bracha between the first three and the last three, of the sanctity of the day. So too on Rosh Chodesh Musaf, so too on all of the Chagim. The big exception is Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, which has three very, very large, impressive brachot, but we're not going to discuss those now. The Shalosh Regalim, the three pilgrimage festivals, the middle bracha of the Amidah, each Amidah, begins with a passage that starts with the words, Atah V'chartanu, you have chosen. Atah V'chartanu mikol ha'amim, you have chosen us from among all peoples. Ahavta otanu, you have loved us. V'ratzita banu, and desired us, favored us. V'romamtanu mikol ha'lashanot, and have raised us above all tongues. The Kidashtanu b'mitzvotecha, very important addition, you have made us holy through your commandments. The Jewish people do not claim a chosen status among the nations except for the fact that we were given the Torah and the commitment of keeping the Torah and all of its commandments. V'keravtanu malkenu la'avodatecha, you have brought us near, our King, to your service. V'shimcha ha'gadol v'hakadosh aleinu karata, and you have called us by your great and holy name. That's the lead passage of the bracha of the day. It continues, not this song, but it continues with V'titan lanu Hashem Elokeinu bi'ahava, you, God, have given us with love festivals for rejoicing. Because it's Shabbat, we will say, you have given us in love Shabbat for rest and festivals for rejoicing, holy days and seasons for joy, this Shabbat day and this festival of Sukkot, our time of rejoicing, the festival with love, a holy assembly in memory of the Exodus of Egypt. All from Egypt. All Chagim revolve around the idea that God took us out of Egypt. And by the way, let me say at this point, and I don't know when we're going to get to actually play the song, maybe in the second half of the show, but I would say the following. Shabbat originally was meant to be universal. The world was created in 6 days. God rested on the seventh. And therefore, he sanctified that day, and ostensibly, all peoples of the world should have acknowledged that, and many, many religions do, by having some semblance of a Sabbath in their weekly schedule. It evolved because of the way the nations of the world behaved and because of the commitment made by the Jewish people to the Torah, that Shabbat became a sign of the covenant between the people of Israel and God, between God and the people of Israel. And still, it carries with it Zecher L'Ma'aseh V'Reshit, a commemoration of creation, and therefore, in some form or another, it belongs to the whole world. Chagim, the holidays, are exclusively the Jewish people's, because we were enslaved in Egypt, and we came out of Egypt, and God took us out with great wonders and miracles, and brought us to Sinai, and gave us the Torah, and all of the commitment that follows. So, when we speak of Shabbat, there is one sort of approach. When we speak of the Chagim, we begin, as this song does, with Ata v'chartanu mikol ha'amim. Because now we're talking about the Jewish cycle of festivals, we're talking about the Jewish calendar, we're talking about our sanctification month by month of Rosh Chodesh, the first day of each month, and the holidays within the calendar that follow suit. And that becomes the basis of our relationship with God. Not just that, but a major, major aspect of it. And focuses on, as I mentioned, on Zecher Liyetziat Mitzrayim, as many, many mitzvot throughout the Torah are meant to be reminders of the Exodus experience. So the first song of the medley, Ata V'chartanu, we will have to open the second half of the show. I just repeat, as I've said before, it's a little confusing to some people because some of you who hear this do not hear it with a break. And I'm talking as if there is a news update and commercials, which on the first broadcast of Arutz Sheva, it is Israel National Radio. When this is heard either on archive there or on OU Radio, it's without a break. The two halves of the show are stitched together, but I still speak of the first part and the second part. So we'll be right back. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Sukkot. Well, as you noticed, I decided to change the beginning of the second half. If anyone can identify where that's from, and if the fellow who originally identified the whistler, please still wait for your prize. We'll get it to you one of these days. But there's a CD from Noam Productions for the first person to tell me where this new intro for the second half came. The previous one was Rod Serling from the Zero Hour. We've replaced him with these musical pieces that you just heard. We basically introduced the first song of a medley, and I'm going to play it for you now, and then we will work on the second song of the medley. Here is Ata V'chartanu.
Oh, hanu oy mikolo va mi o ko iso nu vera ti so govanu vera ma kono mikolo che noi o ko iso nu vera ti so govanu vera ma kono mikolo che noi e chi da sto no da mi fai se so ti ben mi fai se so perché da sto no ma le che no e la mai do se so e si so la godo godoy la yakodoy olinu koroso ay ay shikola godoy la godoy la yakodoy olinu koroso.
The next piece is called Vekorev Pizurenu, but let me give you its context. In the Musaf Amidah of the Shalosh Regalim, actually of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well, we say in the first part how happy we are that we were given the Torah and the mitzvot and these festive days with love, but we do add at Musaf, Umipnei chatainu ga'alinu me'artzenu. But because of our sins, we were exiled from our land and driven far from our country. We cannot go up to appear and bow before you, capital Y, God, and to perform our duties in your chosen house, the Beit HaMikdash, the great and holy temple that was called by your name, because of the hand that was stretched out against your sanctuary. May it be your will, Hashem, our God and God of our ancestors, merciful King, that you in your abounding compassion may once more have mercy on us and on your sanctuary, rebuilding it swiftly and adding to its glory. And here is this piece from the song. Bring back our scattered ones from among the nations and gather our dispersed people from the ends of the earth. Vekorev pizurenu mibein hagoyim, unefutzotenu kanes meyarkisei meyarkitei aretz. That, referring to the ingathering of the exiles, is the dream, prayer, and hope for the time of the Mashiach, but the nice thing is that it's already started. And it's been going on for quite a number of years. And I refer to the return to the land of Israel, to Eretz Yisrael, to the state of Israel, Medinat Yisrael, of Jews literally from the four corners of the earth. And to be an active witness to this return, and to be involved in encouraging Aliyah, and to be involved in facilitating klita, absorption, as the OU in Israel, the Israel Center, is very active with, is a very, very exciting thing, because it makes us partners with God. When we ask that He facilitates the ingathering of the exiles, we say we are helping out. And we'll do our share, you do your abundant portion of the job. So, even though the words of this song come from that passage of the Musaf Amidah of the pilgrimage festivals, which began on the sour note of Umipnei chatainu galinu me'artzenu, because of our sins we were exiled from this land, it has an upbeat flavor because it speaks of not just our prayer for some ephemeral future event, the ingathering of the exiles, but we pray for the continuing ingathering of the exiles, which we are privileged to be part of this very day. Vekorev pizurenu mibein hagoyim, unfutzotenu kanes meyarkete aretz. Oh, yeah.
Eino kare Oi mi ake se yore Oi mi kore Pedu vore ino Ini bena koi Oi na suci se yo kane Oi mi ake se yore Be kore Pedu vore ino Ini bena koi Oi na suci se yo kane Oi mi ake se yore
The next segment of the medley is the only one that mentions Sukkot, and it really isn't about Sukkot either. You'll see what I mean in a moment. On the evening service, Arvit, also known as Ma'ariv, of Shabbat and Chag, festivals as well as Shabbat, the final bracha before the Amidah, Hashkivenu, has a special ending. Ufros aleinu sukkat shalomecha. Spread over us your canopy of peace. That's the Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard. It's Ufros aleinu sukkat rachamim vechayim v'shalom, or something like that. Spread over us your canopy of mercy and life and peace. Then, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, or you are the source of blessing, Hashem, who spreads a canopy of peace over all his people Israel and over Jerusalem. Ufros aleinu sukkat shalomecha. Sukkat means the sukkah of. Here in this context, it means the canopy of. But we relate the two. Sukkot is not just one of the festivals. It has a special mitzvah for all 7 days called Sukkah. Basukot teshvu shivat yamim. You shall dwell in a sukkah for 7 days. And although in many communities this has sort of manifested itself by eating meals in a sukkah, the mitzvah, the real mitzvah, is to dwell in it completely, which means to sleep at night in the sukkah and to take your nap during the day in the sukkah and to do everything in the sukkah that you would do in your house, to sit and learn, to sit and play chess with your grandchildren, to read a book, to relax, to talk with friends. During Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days, you bring out your computer or your laptop, and you do pleasurable surfing on the internet, etc., etc. It is a full living experience. I'll talk more about that later. But the mitzvah of dwelling in the sukkah takes you out from under your man-made roof to a very temporary kind of roof made of natural products, leaves, bamboo poles, even plain wooden slats of all types, the common denominator being that it originally grows from the ground. It has not been made into vessels, utensils, tools, or whatever. It's raw material, and has been cut from the ground and is placed for the sake of the mitzvah of sukkah over whatever structure you make of the walls. The rules for the walls are much less stringent than for the roofing material. On the walls, almost anything goes. But the schach, the covering under which you dwell, you eat, you sleep, you learn, you talk, for the 7 days of Sukkot, is God's material, natural material from the world. And it is at the same time reminiscent of the temporary dwellings during the sojourn in the Midbar, the wilderness, from Egypt till our entry into the land of Israel. It also is a reminder of the heavenly clouds of glory which protected the people during their wandering. In fact, the Vilna Gaon says that it was on the 15th of Tishrei, that the heavenly clouds were returned to the people after they had been removed following the debacle of the golden calf. And therefore, the Vilna Gaon says that that is what is commemorated by Sukkot, specifically on the 15th of Tishrei. There are many, many other opinions as to why Sukkot was placed on the 15th of Tishrei, and all of those other opinions are based on the premise that there was not a specific event that occurred on that day. Because if there were, then you wouldn't need all of these other explanations. You would say, we have Sukkot then, because that's when it happened. And it's really the Vilna Gaon's opinion, I don't know who else puts that forth, that the clouds of glory were turned to the people on the 15th of Tishrei, and that's why Sukkot is the 15th. It is an interesting study, which I'm not going to get into now, and maybe I'll have time to mention a few other ideas as to assuming that it did not mark a specific event like almost every other holiday does, then it's there for a different reason, but we'll get into that maybe later. The point is that the physical, actual sukkah is symbolic and reminiscent of God's protective covering, be it the heavenly clouds of glory, or, as the blessing that we're describing, calls it Sukkot Rachamim V'chayim V'shalom, and that's the connection. So we will be saying this on the eve of Sukkot, but we say it on the eve of every Shabbat and every other holiday as well, Ufros Aleinu Sukkot Rachamim V'chayim V'shalom.
So kaza khami ve khay ve shodoy u froy soleinu suvukas so kaza khami ve khay ve shodoy u froy soleinu ve suvukas rakhami suvukas rakhami ve khavani u ve khay ve shodoy u froy soleinu ve suvukas rakhami suvukas rakhami ve khani u ve khay ve shodoy
The final songs of the medley are variations of the same song, V'samachta b'chagecha, you shall rejoice in your festivals. And this is an interesting concept, and let's talk a little bit about it. One of the, let me put it like this. People think of Pesach as the main command, the main mitzvah of Pesach is the eating of matzah. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, in addition to matzah, there is the Korban Pesach, the Passover sacrifice. But when you say to someone, what is or what are the mitzvot of Pesach, they will often say matzah, and they'll add 4 cups of wine at the Seder, and they'll talk about Korban Pesach, and you say, yes, more, 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 and people often forget the mitzvah of simcha, joy. In the time of the temple, it had a specific meaning of a special kind of sacrifice, the meat of which was eaten in celebrating the festival, but it means a lot more than that. It means a special garment that you wear, a piece of jewelry that the women have, special for the chag, bought in honor of the chag. For children, it could mean a new toy or a new game or a new book, something that adds an element of joy to the holiday. The Torah commands simcha on all of the festivals. But the context of the command to rejoice is primarily Sukkot. Let me get this across. Pesach requires simcha, joy. Shavuot requires simcha, joy. Sukkot does also, and there's a little bit of it in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well, and maybe more than a little bit, but the context and the repetition in the Torah of the mitzvah of simcha, of joy, the context is Sukkot, and we reflect that by the nickname that we give Sukkot, Zman Simchatenu, the time of our joy. I have a little bit more to add on this. We'll do it after V'samachta Bechagecha in several different versions to conclude the medley from the album A Good Year, A Good Year. Here's no surprise, so much more to say, so little time to say it. Yirtzeh Hashem will have a show next week during Sukkot, during Chol HaMoed, and we'll talk more about Sukkot and Hoshana Rabbah and Simchat Torah. But let me finish by highlighting the concept of Simcha, especially that we have called Sukkot Zman Simchatenu. Sukkot is a copy, a shadow, no, let's go back to copy, of a duplicate of Pesach in certain sense, that it is a 7-day holiday which begins on the 15th of the first month of the year. Nisan is the first month of the year, Pesach, and Tishrei is the first month of the year, from a different way of looking at it, Sukkot. 7 days, also commemorative of Yetziat Mitzrayim. But the element of Simcha shows very strongly, because we do not have, as we do on Pesach, the contrast to slavery, the reliving of the Exodus, so that we are now faced with what's going to happen to us the unknown, a little bit of trepidation that dulls the simcha a little bit. On Sukkot, the element of simcha shines forth. Sukkot has an atzeret called Shmini Atzeret / Simchat Torah, which, like the Atzeret of Pesach, which is Shavuot, commemorates the Torah, but the joy of Torah, not that fear and awe of standing at Har Sinai, the pure joy of Torah. Mixed in to the joy of Sukkot is that element of joy from the high holidays as well, from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I don't have more time now to explore it. Let me just wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a Chag Sameach, Lehishtameach.